everyone. Welcome back to Uncensored. I'm Marianne, your host from Yachts Mermaids. And today I have a really special interview and episode for you guys, especially for those who are green in the industry and are job hunting. We have today with us a very courageous crew member, Joe, who is going to share a situation that happened to her recently and how we can potentially avoid this dangerous situation while job hunting, especially on social media. Hi, Joe. How are you? Thank you for being with us today.
I'm Marianne. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here and just have a platform to share my story on and enlighten other people to what's really out there.
Yes, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We all do, because it's not, as we all know, sharing these things that happen to us is not easy when we have people like you who are willing to use their voice, speak up and share their experience. Yeah, we are really grateful for it. So let's talk about what just recently happened. This happened in June, I believe. And yeah, can you just tell us what happened to you?
So basically, in the middle of June, you're sending your CV out there. Hundreds of posts each day, WhatsApp messages, Facebook groups, emails, crew agencies, everything. And sometimes in the midst of that, you forget obviously who you sign up for. So that's what happened to me. I got a WhatsApp message from the agency. Good morning. How are you? Are you still looking? Or are you still available for the tech position? Obviously, being desperate, being new to the industry, someone reaching out to you, you don't know exactly what are the parameters. You don't know how the industry always works. So it feels normal. So they reached out to me. We've called, we've talked about 20 minutes. We talked about the position, everything. There was a few stuff that the agent that I talked to didn't know about the boat, and I should have taken that as a red flag, but I obviously didn't know. I was just happy to be talking to someone, be feeling like I'm going somewhere. So yeah, one thing just for now, always ask all the questions, and if a crew agency doesn't, simply not legit. Like, I asked them what's the flag state of the boat, which is an easy question to answer and one thing they should know. And they couldn't give me that information. But I didn't see anything wrong with it in the moment. So then we talked. They sent through a non-disclosure agreement that I just quickly read through. I thought maybe it's just a high-profile client. They want someone to sign it before they even give out any further information. I just signed it, didn't think much about it, sent it back through to them. They then said that they'll send my information to the owner, who is also the captain, and he's coming back to Fort Lauderdale, so he'll be in contact with me in the next day or so. Next day, I got a message from the owner. His name is Dimitri. And we set up a WhatsApp video call just for an interview. Did that, but it was cut short since there was apparently problems with the ink on board the vessel. Then he was like, you know what? The vessel is experiencing some AC problems. What if we just meet up for some lunch? See if we work together, obviously, because it's a small boat.
And so what size was the vessel?
It was an 18-meter sport fisher.
So like a 55-footer.
Yeah. So it wasn't a big boat. He said, I'll be so steered, except when it's charters, then you usually beat another steer and a deckhand. And now that I think about it, for such a small boat, you won't need another steer or anything. But in that moment, it was just like, oh, they're out, they're not much. just going on with it. Then he said, okay, let's meet up for lunch. We can talk. He offered to pick me up, but I don't know. I just felt more comfortable going to the place by myself. He wanted to go to a sushi restaurant nearby, just talk. I was like, let's go for it. Asked him to go with my normal two cars, interview cars, my car, no, course, everything, but told me to just casually wear a nice dress, still work appropriate, everything. Got there, met the guy. At first, very charming, very lovely. I don't know, just when you meet someone, is a nice person, still skeptical, but I don't know. I think I was just like in the mindset of, let's get a job, just go with it. Don't question it for now. Just that gut instinct speaking and just not listening to it. Because you're thinking, I only have a week drink left, or I only have 2 weeks drink left and a bit of food. I need a job. Otherwise, I'm out of fun. Got there, we started chatting. Everything seemed fine. Good package, good. Everything too good to be true for a green student. And, but you just, you know what? Maybe there was something. Maybe they want to train someone in the way that they want it to be, the boat to be handled and everything. Then the first inappropriate comment came. We were just talking about things we like. And then I told him, like, yeah, I know I like sushi because that's where we ate. And he's like, oh, and I have a motorcycle. I'm like, I love motorcycle. Waitress came around and he's like, I'm going to fall in love with this girl. And this is now a 40, 50 something year old man. And we barely met 10 minutes ago. I just feel spoken. People say, rich people, or sometimes they speak without thinking because they can do it. So I just marked it up to that. Went on. He asked me, am I very conservative just because of the dress I was wearing? I just asked him why he told me just the way I dress and I seem a bit out of type. This is an interview. You need to dress professionally and you can't just go to any interview in like crop tops or so. Moving on, he just laughed and like, moving on, I started asking all the questions. What's the itinerary? Is there any charters plan? What's the live off board situation? What's expected of me? You know, the usual question to see if the boat will work for you. Firstly, it was an American flag boat, which is, I know there's a very gray area currently with American flag vessels and foreign crew. He told me he can get me a C1 visa and they'll pay for that. And
also, going to give you some education there as well for you and for everybody watching this. A C1 D1 visa is a visa that is for cruise ship members or maritime members. And it only allows you to basically be in the U.S. transitioning for, I believe, 29 days, if not mistaken. So that's all that is. That's why it doesn't work for crew members in U.S. waters in foreign flag vessels. That's why yacht crew needs a B1, B2, because it allows them to be in the U.S. for 6 months versus 29 days.
So I also thought that was strange, but just marked it up to not having enough knowledge about the situation. So I thought maybe it's just something that some people do, but like I said, also just ignored it. Then in terms of the charters and everything that he said he planned, he said, whatever's on my bucket list, we can go do that. If I'm in way to the Bahamas, we can do that. So already seems more like, how can I say this? Like, he wants more of a wife. He wants someone to travel with rather than someone who works with him. you want, obviously, this package to seem so good that you just want to take it. Then with the charters, he said he doesn't allow guests to sleep on board. They all need to go off. And I thought, that's weird. If you're chartering out the boat, why wouldn't the guests be allowed in the room or being able to sleep there? There were like a lot of random little stuff that just didn't sit right. But like I said, being desperate, you just ignore it. Then we talked about doing a 5-day trial period where he would train me and just to see if it's going to work out or not. And in regards to that, he told me for these 5 days, you can wear your more flatty clothes, which I was like, not comfortable with. For one, there's a standard yachting uniform that you wear. And the fact that someone made that comment is so absurd. I just thought maybe just joking or something. Then he started talking about the package. I was presented by the apparent crew agency that this was just a deck use position, mostly inferior, but will help with lines here and there, goofy charters, you know, basic stuff. Then the owner came, was like, I want massages. And I told him, I don't have any massaging skills. I don't have any qualifications in regards to that. Oh no, we have a training budget this up for that and everything. And I just was having someone pay for that course instead of me having to do it myself. No, that's a bonus. Then he said 2 nights during the week, he stayed at his place in Miami. And I would have to stay with him in his place. I told him, I don't feel comfortable with that. I want to be professional boundaries. So if we can talk about putting me in a crew house for those 2 days that I don't have to Uber all the way from Fort Lauderdale up to Miami just to give him his morning massage before he goes for his ride. And they're like, if you want to stay anywhere else, you have to pay for it yourself. And that's when I was like, this isn't after this lucky comment and staying at his place and some of the mistakes. But I was like, let's go forward. We can always see what we can work out. Let's do maybe the 5 days and go from there. So at the restaurant was like, you know what? Let's go check out the boat. And against better judgment, got on the back of his motorbike. We went to the marina, but thinking back now, he could have driven anyway and I wouldn't have been able to do anything. But yeah, luckily, just went to the marina. Once we got there, went on the boat, did a nice tour, sat on top of the boat, and we were talking. You are now the lady of this boat. You need to take charge. You need to take it in because this is now your new home. And at first, I agreed, let's do the 5 days, let's see. And at that time, I was also desperate for money. So I was like, even if I just do the 5 days and then reject the job and then go from there. But yeah.
Did the boat have a name?
The boat did not have a name. Like usually it's plastered on the back, but this boat did not have a name. And he also told me he was in the process of changing the name. And it was something in a different language and then Lonely, but in it being Mr. Lonely. But I didn't think about it then. And like I said, there was no name on the boat, so I couldn't even have that for reference. Then he offered to drive me home. Also, I was like, you know what? I don't feel comfortable. Didn't say that, obviously, but I was like, I got some sports to do. I need to go to town, so I'll be fine. Immediately called my parents. I told them, this is the situation, but I need a job and I need money. But what do you guys think I need to do? obviously for them, it was like a no-go. This is not something that you should do. Obviously, with all those things adding up, there was maybe one comment here or something there, but all these things, it just didn't pan up. So crew agency, the fake agency, contacted me afterwards saying, did you meet up with them? Tell us how it went. And I was like, no, I'll do the 5-day trial, but I don't know if I'm completely comfortable with it. They set up a call. Let's talk about it, that we can know what's happening from their side. And it was actually another South African I was talking to. So obviously, if someone's from home, you feel a bit more safe, feel more, they wouldn't try anything with you. So I called them, explained the entire situation, everything that happened to me. And I told them, I was like, you know, I don't feel comfortable with you guys representing this guy because I don't think your intentions are pure. Oh, one thing that I could pull from the conservative side was like, you'll never see me naked, but you'll see at least 90% of my body. And some of my friends are much more liberal. And when they're on the boat, they sometimes get naked and whatever. And if we all are on charter, we'll ask you to get a drink with us sometimes. And it's nothing weird. It's just very casual.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that was another thing. Keep on adding on. And then afterwards, like, one thing is maybe to something you say, didn't think about it, but all these things added up.
Yeah.
Called the agency, told them everything. They let me think about it. And then I'll message them if I want to take the job. So I messaged them later during the evening. I was like, you know what? I can't do this. I just don't feel comfortable. And they were like, okay, no problem. Let's just tell them you found another job. No hard feelings. And they'll keep my information for future positions and stuff. Getting back to the crew agency, I haven't signed up for them. I didn't know where I got them from, but as I said, signing up for so many things, sending mail, sending WhatsApp, text, all that, you lose track of who you messaged, where you messaged them to. So during our conversation, they asked me and I to save my SCPW, my ANGY, all that falls through so that they can build a profile on me. Luckily, I was like, I didn't send it through. So I don't know. Back then, I was like, I should send this through. So it's whether I get a job or not. But in that moment, I was just like, I'm not going to send anything through. But yeah. Then called them, told them everything. And they see this guy must represent it, what he wanted out of the role in terms of what I told them about the crew, staying at his place, having to pay for my own accommodation if I don't, having a mystery, all that was not apparently communicated to them. So then I thought I'm done with caught the guy, but I just had his first name. Didn't have a birth name, didn't have anything. So I went online, I tried to search Dimitri, hotel owner, Miami, like all the things that I do know about it. And nothing turned up. So I thought I tried everything because I can't just go and report Dimitri without a surname, without a birth name, without anything. Then a few weeks later, my mom contacted me saying she was in touch with another mom also from South Africa. Her daughter got a job offer, but she also didn't feel comfortable. Turns out it was the same company, same guy, same everything. I got her number, we chatted, exchanged story, and almost the exact same thing happened to her also with getting together with him, and first thing went a bit further, but then I was like, this isn't right, because I told the company about all the things he did And now it's almost a month later, and they're still trying to get a fearful acquisition. So she had some more information together. We put everything together. I went online, I researched, got all my stuff together. And I didn't just want to go on Facebook and name, fame, and shame this guy, because I just don't know the correct procedures. And that's when I came to you, because I was like, I saw you helping another girl in a similar situation. And I said, someone who has been in the industry, knows their way around, knows how to go about reporting this, would probably be better than agreeing to you who doesn't know exactly where to go. And also coming to you, making sure it reaches more than just the few people going on Facebook and looking after this. You can reach out to so much more people and everything. And then, yeah, we did research, looked into the company. I went to your Instagram pages. I went to everything on the platform. Like you said, there's no place to upload any of your information. Like, you can't put up your certificates or anything like that. There's no place for a crew member to register themselves. And all the Instagram pages and everything, it was all filled with like fake followers. And I just thought, I didn't even think that the agency would also be fake. I just thought maybe this guy was going through them giving false information. Yeah, they came to you, got all their information needed to report this guy to not only the police, but in all the maritime services people in Greece, rates from just getting that all together and just creating a platform where other girls could also come forward with the same story about their meeting. And I thought, after everything that I went through, and I was like, luckily I have my parents who told me, like, even though you're different, don't just go for the first job offer, meaning that don't just hop on any opportunity just because you're desperate. Something different will come along, or it might not be the right thing for you. Yeah. I told my parents afterwards, I was like, even though it wasn't a good situation to be in, luckily I was never hated enough at the end of the day to turn it down. And also to be able to come forward so that all the other girls who were in this situation or was going to be put in the situation maybe in the future, that we can stop them.
Yes. And yeah, I really thank you for sharing your story with us today. And I want to share with you, the viewer, that after Joe reached out to me, and I started investigating seven more victims of this fake agency, and a perpetrator came forward. And while we started putting all the pieces together, this ended up being a trafficking situation where they were intending to traffic girls like Joe, vulnerable, green, desperate, that don't know the industry, how it moves, how it works. So it's an easy target, basically, for them. And obviously, it was very obvious that the fake agency and this perpetrator are working in partnership. Every week, they were sending new people, recruiting new girls. Some girls got further down the line into the interview process than Joe, having new consequences because of that. And yeah, so we're doing this show to share her story, to share that this agency that she named, it's fake. So please, if you are trying to be recruited by them, avoid them at all costs, block them. There are cases, open cases about this. I'm going to put all the links below. So if you are a victim of this situation, you know where and how to report. So with your story, I want to talk to you and the viewers about certain things, right? So one of the things that you talked about is this desperate scarcity mindset that basically put you in a position of you're looking at the red flags, you're having your gut instinct telling you don't, and yet you are pushing forward. Can you tell me a little bit more about that mentality, mindset that you were on? And how do you think how have you moved away from that?
But I think it's firstly being in a different country, you move away from older people you know. Like I do for me, I'm not a very homesick person, but sometimes you just want the comfort of your own home and staying constantly with other people, being in each other's space, it gets to your end. People getting jobs over you or someone just responding at the right time to make it and getting the job even though you have more experience. It makes you feel, you know, inadequate and you would want to move forward, but you just can't. And you think, if I get this, even if I push through, you maybe just have a week, like I said, maybe if I just worked those 5 days, got paid for those 5 days, I would be in a better position. And also converting money back from South Africa to United States, it's so expensive. So ask me for anyone who isn't earning dollars to help me and sponsor me their side. It takes so much more from them than I realized. So I just felt I haven't asked my parents yet for support on this side, even though they offered constantly. I just felt it's such a big deal and I would rather just get the job. And even after that interview, I went into this bad headspace of being, no, and there's also not a lot of jobs, but just being like, no one wants me. Everything's so difficult. Money's running low. Food's running low. I don't have money to fly back home. I don't know how am I going to get out of this situation. It's just constantly being your mind telling your body something and then your body just reacting to that and inadvertently your mind getting more depressed, going more into this hole of like self-pity and self-doubt. Then I actually have conversation with my roommate and another girl from another crew house. He's also on your Yacht Mermaid. She always sends me the links and everything. And we talked and she said, the moment you stop, it's always the moment that you stop looking that starts arriving. And you need just put in your head constantly, I'm getting a job, I'm getting a job. This is the job I want. This is the job I want. Staying positive, eating healthy, applying for jobs every day, talking to someone if it's necessary. That also happened. I didn't talk to anyone, just held it in, which was bad. But talking to her, I got into a more positive mindset. And from there, I had a few day jobs here and there. But before that, being so negative, I don't know, it pushed the jobs away, closed my eyes to opportunities that needed, but I just didn't feel like taking them. If you are in this negative need space, talk to someone. Because the thing is, most probably they've also been there. And you just need to let it out.
So I want to remind all of you, the vibration that you're in, that's what you attract, like Joe was saying. So if you're in that spiral of down, you're going to be more receptive and more open to these type of situations where you are going to be taken advantage of. And then if you surrender and you trust that you will be provided, I know it's easier said than done, but you keep your vibration in a higher state of being, then you're able to open up and, like you said, open your eyes to the opportunities that are actually there for you to support you. Now, with that being said, especially for those who are new to the industry, joining the industry, or are transitioning between jobs, I cannot say this enough. Saving enough money to have financial security for at least 6 months is crucial. So you don't have to get into that scarcity mindset because you know that you have a budget and that you can survive without getting a job or working, right? During that time while you find a good job. Also, when you apply, the time frame that you're applying, right now we're in the middle of the season, it's going to be harder right now because there's not as many jobs available right now because everybody's working. So when the in-between seasons, between September, October, November, those are really good months, or something like April, May, yeah, June, not really. Those are better months to also get into the industry because there's a bigger options and opportunities as so many people are moving both and all these things are happening. Let's talk about, you know, the red flags. You mentioned a lot of them on your meeting with this perpetrator. And I want to go over them again. And I will put a link below for a free guide of the 20 red flags that that I have seen the most in social media when job hunting. So you talked about the job advertiser profile being recently created or empty, which is the case with this company that you mentioned. Unprofessional or professional emails. These days, most vessels have captain@motoryachtmaine.com. I do want to say that this fake crew agency is actually registered in the UK. And this is why we have been able to open cases in the UK and in the US to investigate them further. They are not accredited by the MLC. So this is another point that when you're trying to find a job as a green crew or experienced crew, it doesn't really matter. You really have to ideally go through MLC certified agencies because there is some sort of legal cushion to support you and protect you there versus some random person on WhatsApp or Facebook group or anything like that. I'm not saying that all of them are illegal and that they're doing the wrong thing. There are a lot of them that are good people helping other people find jobs, but it opens up the doors for a lot of scams and frauds and perpetrators. Another of the things that you talked about was the offer sounding too good to be true. So that is a massive red flag that I see over and over. Also, I have seen offers that say work for experience. Do not ever go and work for free. Whether you have experience or not, your time is valuable. That's a massive red flag if you ever are asked to work for free. A lot of spelling errors. She shared with me that NDA, which was a massive red flag for me when I saw that, because no crew agency ever will send you an NDA for themselves, because the NDA wasn't even about the owner. It was about the company itself. And also inside that fake illegal contract or agreement, there was also something that said that they had to pay I don't know exactly how it was worded, but the point was that the crew member had to pay the crew agency a fee if they did something wrong or breached the contract or anything. And that is also a massive red flag because by law in the maritime industry, no crew agency can ask for seafarers to pay anything to them. So that was another red flag that I saw there. What is it? Another thing. Like what happened to you, unexpected solicitors, meaning a job offer that you're not applied for. And you talked about you applying for so many things that you lost track. So this is a learning curve for you and for a lot of people. Like as you apply, you're going to have to invite you guys to keep track of what you're applying for, the title of the job, when, the time, who did you apply for. Just keep track. So when people come back, you can say, oh, okay, this is where they're coming from, this is where I applied, this is what I apply for. One, because it's professional from your part. If somebody reaches out and you say to them, oh, can you remind me of what this job is? And it's a real job. People are going to be like, wow, yeah, great eye for detail. So it's really professional on your side to do that and also to support you in protecting yourselves from these scams and predators. Body language and inappropriate behavior that you experience very vividly with the meeting of this owner during your interview. You talked about all his sexual comments And also the fact that he wanted to pick you up on his motorcycle, even though you did end up going on the boat on his motorcycle, the first instinct was to go to the interview on your own and not being picked up. And I'm very thankful that you're being able to be here today with us and be safe, that they didn't spike your drink, that nothing major happened to you, because the honest truth is that we don't know if it has happened to somebody else. So this is why we're doing the show, to help other people avoid these people so they don't get into major trouble. Another thing is when, you know, when you're asked by an interviewer to see if you're comfortable with nudity, right? This is a massive red flag. And even if it's a real job, let's say it's like a legit job and they do ask you about, this is a major red flag because it could be used to blur boundaries and create a atmosphere of sexual ambiguity, which can obviously lead to abusive behavior and sexual harassment later on board. All these red flags are also not just for fake jobs, but for real jobs that could potentially lead to other situations when on board. I don't know if you were asked about sending photos or anything like that about you, but if they're asking you photos on swimwear and stuff like that's another red flag. We did another uncensored show with another stewardess who was asked to go online and do an interview, and she saw that they were recording the interview on Zoom. That's another red flag. So yeah, obviously the smell of alcohol or slurred telephone conversations, asking to meet in a non-professional setting. You were asked to meet in a sushi place. It could be okay, but it is a red flag for me because in my 16 years, whenever I have met captains, for whatever reason, maybe they still have the crew member on board or they just don't want to do the interview on board, we always go to a coffee shop and it's very quickly and it feels safe and we're not having unprofessional conversation. It's just about the job. So I will be a little bit worried even about eating out with the interviewers. Not that it could happen and it could be a good thing, but just in my experience, I have never really experienced that. I do know that one of the girls that ended up in this situation like you, she was actually taken to meet the captain of the vessel, which obviously there's no captain. It's a 55-footer. This guy's a captain. There's no real job anyway. But she got on the bike with this person and she ended up going into a men's club, a strip club. So thankfully, she's safe. She was able to get on an Uber or somebody picked her up and leave the scene. But we got to be very careful. And another victim of this situation, she got an airfare without seeing a contract. This is when we realized that this situation was really about human trafficking, because there was a constant pushing into, give me your passport, at least to some of the victims. We're leaving tomorrow to Bahamas, or we're leaving to Greece, or we're leaving to this place. There was no contract involved, pushing. And actually, one of the victims was flown from one country to another. And thankfully, before getting into the next plane, she realized this is not safe. So she didn't. Yeah, she never got a contract, only that fake NDA thing from the agency, which is obviously not a contract with the vessel. And yeah, not being able to talk to the captain or a head of department. Like you said, it sounded really weird that there was no other crew or that they needed that many crew. So all these are red flags, and I'll put a link to all these red flags and more on the video below. And yeah, what's coming up for you when I say all this, Joe?
Actually, a thing that I forgot about is I asked him about the contract, and these people are just trying to force this contract off of you. But the reality is, if you want to leave, you're going to leave. And it doesn't help if I sue you, or if something happens and you sue me. And I just thought, like, everyone stayed, get a contract. But in the moment, I think it's a smaller boat. Maybe it's just the way it goes. And yeah, like I said, it was just things that I thought in the moment, it could be bad, but then you just see where it goes further. But yeah, and then also with, like you said, the comments and everything, like he likely didn't touch me inappropriately that much, but he did put his hand on my back to lead me out, which there's obviously if on a boat, you don't go and someone you just meet, put your hands on them, lead them away. Yeah. But like I said, like me, hindsight is 2020, but in that moment, you just ignore it.
Yeah, you ignore it out of desperation, for sure. Like you said, you wanted the job. You wanted to not have to ask for support from your parents or somebody else. You wanted to do it your way, and you were willing, basically, at that stage to put yourself in danger in order to get what you wanted. Thankfully, your gut instinct really kicked in, and you listen, and now you're here talking to other people about it so they can avoid this situation themselves. So yeah, so I want to resume what we talked about. And one of the things that, the first thing is that as an individual, you need to understand your boundaries, what you are okay with, what you're not okay with, what's your limit, where you feel safe. Because when you do know your boundaries in every part of your life, specifically talking about job hunting, work environments, then it's easier to see the red flags. Also, obviously, educating yourself about the industry, the ins and outs. There's so much information out on social media about the industry that just typing on Google or reaching out to people like me, you can avoid getting into these situations. I'm also going to put a link down below about this basic seafarer rights, which talks about sea agreements, contracts, because at the end of the day, it's not about having a contract to sue anybody. It's about having a protection for them. The boat needs to protect themselves. And also for you to protect yourself, to get paid, to know all the parameters on how to report, what's okay with it, what's not okay. And yeah, what is asked of you and vice versa. So not all flagged vessels, and depending on the size of the vessel, are abiding by the minimum MLC requirements. So that's why it's so important to educate yourself about it. And to be honest, if you're a green crew member, I wouldn't go on a small vessel because you're putting yourself in a very difficult situation when it comes down to seafarer rights. So anything over 500 ton, more than likely you're in a safer zone. Not that you're completely safe, but there is more room to be protected. Yeah. So we already talked about that scarcity mindset. So getting out of that and really obviously preparing yourself for this transition financially and everything like that. Educating yourself so you're not in this situation, ideally. And let's talk about reporting, because this was a big thing when Joe reached out to me, being in America and not being a U.S. citizen. How do you report this? How do you report somebody online? And how do you feel safe reporting in a country that you're not that you're illegal, because you're not illegal, you have your visas, but, you know, that you don't feel safe because of the situation you're in. So I did a lot of investigations, and in this case, specifically because the crew agency was actually registered as a UK company, we were able to report straight to the government of the UK and created a report there. I called the police in the UK. I called the human trafficking line in the UK and the US. So we created open cases for that as well, because we had a lot of information about this to the agency and the individual. And with the local police in Fort Lauderdale, in this case, they reassure me. And I also talked to a lawyer that if you are a immigrant, right, you're not from the country, you are by law supported and safe and protected to reach out to them and report. And if you don't feel comfortable with reporting with your name, and you can do this by phone, you don't even have to go to the police department. You can also do it anonymously online. There's a website that they have. So there are many ways of reporting, which I did that. I also opened a case with the local police as well. And yeah, they are under investigation. We also reached out to MLC, head of security of MLC, yes. And they have been extremely supportive of our situation and other situations that are happening as well that we're not talking about today. And even though they cannot open an investigation because the fake recruitment agency is not certified by them, they are supporting us by helping us with the UK government, supporting the case and the evidence and all that. So these are the ways that we have been able in this case to report. So we have a lot of open cases. And so, yeah, we're hoping that with this and more people feeling comfortable and safe to speak up and report what happened to them, that we can actually shut these people down. So how was that for you, Joe, the reporting process?
Like, I think at first I didn't know a way to go. So that's why I reached out to you. But after your help and everything, having those things, knowing where to go, knowing that I can protect myself and what's to come, and just not being afraid of reporting, it helped me so much. And it isn't that difficult. Just go reach out to them and tell your story, and they can go from there. Because the thing is, if you don't reach out, if you don't talk to someone about it, someone, you are putting someone else in a position where they are maybe going further in the interview, and maybe something happens to them. Yeah, it was very easy to report, felt safe and everything.
And we're going to put all the links on how to report for this case. If you know who we're talking about and you have been a victim of them, please report. You can do so anonymously, and it's very easy. Another thing I want to talk about is the UC First Union Nautilus. Nautilus? My Spanish comes through and it doesn't sound very good. But I believe, yeah, Nautilus is how you say it. And they are here to support, is the only maritime seafarer union that support the yacht crew right now. So the only thing with them is that before you reach out to them with an issue, you have to be a member in order for them to give you legal advice and use their lawyers and all that and resources. So please, if you're new to the industry or you're in the industry, I highly recommend, I invite you to become a member of the union to have that extra support if needed. Hopefully you don't need it, but if you do, then it's there. And there's also a helpline called yachtcrewhelp.org. It's 24/7, and they can also support you in how to report, how to any mental health issues that you may be going through, or anything else that you need support with, you can contact them as well. Yeah, I think it's a wrap up. What's the message that you want to bring to wrap up this episode, Joe?
I think my only message is that, you know, some people are put in a situation where they don't feel comfortable reporting, and you don't have to show your face. You don't have to say your name. You don't have to say how you know the person. You can even go talk to a friend or talk to someone like you and helping them report. Because you also offered to report for me, and yeah, just go out there and make sure that no one gets put in the situation that you were in, because they might handle it differently. They might not have someone to talk them down, talk them out of doing something that they'll regret later. And yeah, that's my message. If you don't feel safe, talk about it, because we can't make a change if no one talks about this kind of stuff.
Exactly. And Joe said even other people can report for you if you don't feel comfortable, because the whole thing about reporting is also making sure that you feel comfortable in the process and that you feel safe. And there are so many ways to do that in the process of reporting. So I will put all the links that you need down below the video. So where and how to reach me, how to report for this specific situation, and all the free guides that I have available for you guys to understand your seafarer basic rights and, yeah, how to avoid these scams and frauds while you're job hunting. So we hope that everybody's safe out there. And if you do have a story to share and you want to share it in this platform, feel free to reach out to me. All right. Until next time. Thank you for watching.